It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Thursday. And Joe, it's exciting times. We've got Predators hockey later today and also the NBA officially getting back underway tonight in Orlando. And to help us talk more about that, we bring in Jeff Zilgut, who covers the NBA for USA Today. And Jeff, I just got to start off. First off, thank you for coming on with us. But Joe, your friend, has had about 19 cups of coffee today, so he's going to be very energetic.
And I'm right behind you, Joe. Not quite 19, but I'm close.
Well, you know, Jeff, who is the pride of the Michigan State.
Michigan State's everywhere, man.
We definitely slugged some coffee up in East Lansing. And I'm sure you're loving the need for more caffeine and energy and you know, all that comes with basketball coming back, Zilly.
I am. Look, it's been hectic, you know, for not having games for 4 months. This has been incredibly busy because, you know, the COVID storyline has just dominated, you know, so often during the course of this, whether or not the NBA was going to come back, how they're going to do it, what's the plan. You know, early on, I don't think the NBA anticipated, nor did I think anyone really anticipate the idea of, when they suspended the season, when they returned, that they would be in a central location. I think the thinking was is that this was going to disappear to some degree, or at least it would be at manageable levels, and you could resume, you know, traveling around the country. And as we're starting to see, the bubble idea, the bubble theory, seems to be the way to go. And yet I also understand that not every league can, you know, pull off a bubble. You know, maybe Major League Baseball should have been more compelled to try it in, you know, Florida, in Arizona. I understand what's going on in those two states with COVID, but the NBA is managing to pull off a bubble. And you guys probably saw it yesterday. It's the second consecutive testing period, daily testing period for, you know, 14 consecutive days where no player has tested positive for COVID. So they seem to have found a way to, at the very least, keep it to a minimum positive cases. And at best, there's no positive case inside the bubble.
So, Jeff, obviously everybody tonight's really looking forward to that Lakers-Clippers matchup. But how much pop does it kind of take out of the matchup with no Lou Williams, no Montrezl Harrell, no Patrick Beverley? Does it take any of the luster out of it for you, or do you just not care because there's been so long without NBA basketball, we're just ready to get back into it?
No, it's a two-parter for sure. Look, it does not have the same pop as if those two teams were playing a, you know, let's just think of a late regular season game a week before the playoffs begin with those guys missing. Also, just having not played in 4 months, you know, don't forget, we're not as much excited as people are to have sports and basketball back tonight. It's not going to be the best basketball. I don't want to say it's going to be summer league hoops or anything like that, but these guys haven't played 5-on-5 with the kind of regularity that you need to have late season, high level elite basketball. But that said, you know, look, you want to see the Lakers, LeBron James, how he looks. I mean, he seems to be one guy who is maybe his attitude, his dedication is fit for bubble life. But also, look, we're going to get, you know, Zion Williamson, and then we'll start to see all the other storylines develop. But, yeah, look, the bottom line is I'm super excited to see hoops tonight. You know, if you don't get the pop tonight from that Lakers-Clippers matchup, you know, there's a real good chance that we get it later this summer when those two teams meet in the playoffs.
No doubt. And I agree, obviously, it's going to be a little ragged for a while, Jeff. I've been, you know, watching quite a bit of this. I will say one guy who was not ragged the other day, Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies, just looked surgical, and he looks great. They are an intriguing team. Obviously, around here, a team of interest. First of all, is the Rookie of the Year decision over for you, and what do you think about that team's chances as a potential 8 seed to cause a little trouble?
So, one, the Rookie of the Year race. Look, everyone had to turn in their votes who voted by Tuesday night. So these 8 games that they're playing, not count, which, you know, you can make the argument whether or not you like that idea. But I'll tell you this. Let's just say the NBA allowed those eight games to count. It's unlikely, unless Zion Williamson did something like, you know, 40, 10, and 10, you know, that was off the charts. Ja Morant was getting my vote. I mean, he played all season. Zion Williamson didn't. And he was spectacular from start to finish. I mean, he's a dynamic guard. You guys know this. You know, we're talking about it in a variety of places, but had we seen a guard like this, you know, with such explosiveness and ability to do things since a Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose type, you know, rookie guards in the NBA. And that's what we're – and those guys won MVPs. They were all-stars, all-NBA performers. And so that's what you're getting in Ja Morant. Now, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers and you're looking at the eighth seed, you probably don't want to play Portland because they're getting all their players back with Jozef Nurkić, Zach Collins, and Damian Lillard, and C.J. McCollum. You probably don't want to play the Pelicans either because they're going to come in with all that hype of Zion Williamson and then the former Lakers, you know, and Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram who played, you know, who now play for New Orleans. And so if you're the Lakers, you probably want Memphis. With that said, Memphis has been a really good team this year and probably surprisingly so with their coach doing a fan. I mean, I know that Taylor Jenkins is not going to win Coach of the Year, but he probably deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with this team, and you can start to see the future of what can happen in Memphis, maybe a little bit faster than people anticipated, especially when you combine Jaren Jackson Jr. into the mix. They're showing an ability to find the right players and build the right way. So you have that. Can Memphis beat the Lakers in a series? No, they can't. But can, you know, in a neutral court situation where the Lakers don't have four home games, is it possible that they could win, you know, a couple games and make this a six-game series and make it interesting? You know, there is that because I think there's going to be a lot of unpredictability in what happens since these teams are, you know, haven't played in so long. And so, look, I don't like Memphis' chances to advance, and yet they're the kind of team that, you know, can upset the Lakers in a game or two and make the series a whole lot more interesting as opposed to they were playing a traditional, you know, home-and-home seven-game series.
Jeff Zilgut on the line with us from USA Today, who covers the NBA. And, Jeff, how much pressure is on the Milwaukee Bucks in this tournament to win or at least to get to the finals, given what's happening with Giannis and his contract decision that he has coming up? He can sign an extension this offseason or become a free agent, I believe, after next season. How much pressure is on the Bucks to get the job done this year?
I think it's one of the overriding storylines that we're going to be following. Now, you know, there's a couple of hometown advantages that Milwaukee has. One, you know, they identified him, you know, earlier than any other team in the process when it comes to the draft. Milwaukee is really the only North American city that he knows, so it is home for him. And so, you know, it's not like he's been on the AAU circuit, grew up here, played college ball here, and has been all over the country. You know, now, obviously playing in the NBA, he's got a chance to do all those things. But your point remains is that Milwaukee is talking about the idea of keeping Giannis for the next four or five seasons, and that automatically makes them a contender in the Eastern Conference for that period. And when you're, you know, a, you know, small market team like Milwaukee, I know the NBA doesn't like that phrase, but I guess a small TV market franchise, when you can be a contender, including this year and last year for seven seasons, that does wonders for a franchise. That means a lot. You know, I don't think Milwaukee has to win it. I think getting to the finals is important in that if he does that, he says, yeah, look, there's the pieces here. The franchise has spent money to keep a guy like Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe, bring in a veteran like Kyle Korver and Brooke Lopez, and have some, and even George Hill is a, you know, underrated sixth man of the year candidate. You get to the finals in that shows him that, yes, we have the ability to do that. You don't get to the finals, it maybe makes him start to wonder whether or not, hey, is there someplace else where I can, you know, get to the finals or win a championship a little bit sooner? So we're going to be talking about that. Look, there's a story I like to tell. After Giannis signed his extension 4 years ago, he looked at his watch, and it's a joking situation, but, you know, he looked as if there's a watch on his hand and was indicating to a high-level executive, you know, you guys are on the clock, okay? You know, the time is ticking, and so, you know, let's get this done. Obviously, 4 years ago, the Bucks have made a lot of progress, but getting to the finals or winning will be huge in impacting his decision to stay with that franchise.
And Jeff, you mentioned earlier about individual awards, and that's one award that the Bucks probably will get if not only the NBA championship, but an MVP trophy for Giannis once again. And do you see Giannis being that front runner? This is a shoe-in. It's a lock for him to win it. Or do you see a guy like LeBron James or James Harden kind of climb up there and win the MVP?
I think this is Giannis's again. I mean, he's had a historical season. He improved over last year. And if you start to drill down a little bit on his numbers, and you know, not even advanced stats or anything like that, but just do his – the Bucks blew out so many teams this year. Giannis, you know, he barely played 30 minutes a game. And so if you look at his per 36 minutes, this is, let's say he was close to 35, 36 minutes a game, and the Bucks weren't blowing teams out, his numbers are even more incredible. You know, it really blows people out of the water. The Bucks were on pace to win 67 games this year, and so he is the best player on the best team in the league, and you know, the best player in the league this season. I love everything LeBron James has done. I've grown to have some appreciation for James Harden's game, even though I'm not always a fan of everything he does. You know, Kawhi Leonard is up there. You have Luka Doncic as well. So there are lots of quality guys, you know, who, you know, you could say they're deserving of the MVP, but I don't think there's anyone more deserving than Giannis.
All right, Jeff, so you're going to the bubble when, and are you stopping for Magic City Wings on the way?
Well, it looks like my flight is nonstop here from the D.C. area, so I'm not in Magic City this time, Joe. Now, with that said, I go into the bubble sometime, you know, between the third week and the end of August. At that point, you begin your seven-day quarantine, and so, you know, you're confined to your room. I'm sure it's going to be a long 7 days, but we all know how, you know, in general, a week flies by and everything, and, you know, you'll find time. There's so many Zoom calls, press conferences to do. You just sort of lock in and get to work, and then your quarantine's over, and you'll be able to roam around the bubble, not freely, but, you know, to the places you're allowed to go and start covering games.
Absolutely. Jeff Zilgit has been our guest from USA Today covering the NBA. Jeff, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us today, man. We really appreciate it. I think Joe is about to run off and get even more coffee.
Robbie and Joe, thanks for having me. And, you know, always love connecting with Joe.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Later, Joe.
Enjoy.
Going to be a really interesting start to the season tonight in the NBA. We'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side of the break. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.